My name is Kent Graham. I've lived in San Francisco since 1970. I have a daughter, and my dad recently died. He was the last parent I had, and I have two brothers, one in Gilroy and one in San Jose, one in Seattle, and I have a house in Bernal Heights, which I've had since 1976, and I have a cabin up in Truckee, which I've had since 1978.
Why'd you decide to run for mayor?
Because I wanted to do something for the city that I love, and I think I can do a better job than the current administration.
And so what does the city that you love, San Francisco, mean to you?
Well, it means a city that is tolerant of everybody. It has everything that you could want in a city, and more, actually. It's close to skiing. It's close to everything I want to do. And I think it's a great city to bring up a kid in. As long as you're not down in the Tenderloin and things like that, where she got beat up at one point.
So who's she?
My daughter.
Oh.
Had her phone stolen, and partly her fault because you don't walk down the street talking on a phone, but she was surrounded by six kids, and they pushed her down on the ground. She wouldn't give it up, and they finally took it from her. Luckily, there was a fireman in a fire truck, watched the whole thing, got out, ran, and caught the guy that had taken the phone. He had flipped it to somebody else, and but they tried him, and she went down and testified. She didn't want to do it.
Well, that speaks actually to one of the bigger issues facing the city right now, which is that there is a huge wealth disparity taking place in the city. You could simplify it to the people who have cell phones and those who don't, but in a larger extent, it's the people who can afford to live here and those who really cannot. So what do you think of the changes affecting the city, and what would you do differently about them, particularly along the lines of the affordability crisis?
Yeah, that is a big problem, and the gap is getting bigger between the haves and have-nots, and even the middle class, the gap is getting bigger between the middle class and those who can really afford to live here, is to be the upper middle class. I saw an article that said you need $220,000 to raise a family of four as an income. Well, that's, you're not going to have a teacher do that. You're not going to have a fireman, policeman do that. We need to fix that. And to fix that, you need government to step in and say, okay, developers, we can't be developing just high rises for the ultra wealthy. We have to have better affordable housing.
So there are, requirements for developers coming in. For example, some of the ballot measures is a ballot measure where a developer coming into Mission Rock is pledging to do 40% affordable housing. Do you think that those kind of steps are okay, or are you more for the complete moratorium on market rate housing, as is suggested by the Mission moratorium?
Prop I. I'm in favor of both of those, actually. I think that the model for doing something in San Francisco is to be inclusive of everybody, and Prop D kind of does that, 40% middle and lower income places. I think there needs to be, like Prop I does, have a moratorium on all that building down there so we can get caught up on the lower end and not be displacing people while we're doing that. Too many people have gotten evicted just because it's more profitable for Airbnb is one of them, but there's other developers that want to make nothing but high rises or nothing but high rent. The biggest problem is that you end up with all this disenfranchised people, and then where do they go? There's no place for them to go. So I'm in favor of having the moratorium, as Prop I suggests, until we get caught up and try to have some solution for those who get evicted. Now, I'm not in favor of limiting homeowners. I think homeowners should have the right to do their in-laws whichever way they want. I don't support, you know, taxing them and regulating them highly. Because a lot of homeowners buy a home, they struggle to put down a down payment, they don't buy a new car, and they do all this stuff so that they could live here, knowing that maybe, you know, they're going to have that in-law as a rental unit to help them in retirement. A lot of people don't have retirement plans. So up to two units or two rental spots, however you want to define it, I think should be totally left alone for those homeowners who have in-laws and maybe an extra room to do whatever they want with it.
So to do short-term rentals?
Whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because
as much as they want.
As much as they want.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be taxed heavily on it, and maybe not even to be taxed at all. I don't know about that. I'd have to look at the numbers there. But you can't... homeowners are the base of society, and they're the most stable. And you want to encourage people to be homeowners wherever you can. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that don't want to be homeowners and they want to rent, and that's okay. And we have to deal with that on the rental side so that you don't have people just being ripped off all the time.
Well, that's tough with what you're proposing, because if you're saying that people could do whatever they want for up to two units, then that's the kind of thing that I think leads people to evict tenants so that then they can maybe take a place and put it on the short-term market, which is more lucrative, and they're not tied to rent control. So
yeah,
how would you balance that?
I'm not for those people that have more than two units. So if you have six units or 40 units, you can't do that. But if you have one or two units, really you have to look at what those two units bring in for those people, and that may be the difference between if they don't make $220,000, that they can kind of use this to bridge the gap while they're working. And then after they're done working, you know, it's a retirement income. So I don't think it's either or. I think there's a combination that can work there. We just have to work out what that method is.
That's Kent Graham. He is running for mayor of San Francisco. Angela, by the way, you don't have to sit in and listen if you don't want. If you have a meeting with Audrey. Okay, good. And careful of your feet, because I kind of hear that now and then. Yeah, it's just pretty sensitive. So, let's see. Right now, as a result of real estate tax income and other factors, the San Francisco city budget is nearing $9 billion a year. That is about $2 billion higher than it was when Mayor Lee took office, and it's changed a lot of things. In fact, the Board of Supervisors just allowed the proposed budget by the mayor to go through without any changes at all. Mayor Lee said he wants to add more police officers. What would you do with extra money in your city budget?
Well, I would start with the homeless. I mean, the way we handle homeless right now is not correct, to be polite. We need a lot more people going out and finding those people. Well, here's my plan for the homeless. First of all, you have to have a scorecard to know who the players are. And so I would have a report on every single homeless person, find out what their needs are, build a solution for all that, and then have a budget for each person so we can fund that to get them off the street. Now, the mental health is a bigger problem than just being homeless, as are some of the hardcore people that want to live on the street.
Well, I can actually see some ties between what you're proposing there with mental health, at least in education, for example, because for students who have special needs, there are individualized education plans that are made for each individual kid to make sure that if they have struggles, that those struggles are addressed directly, not with the general population, not for the general population, but for them individually. And so you're proposing something like that, where there's kind of an individualized homeless assessment plan for everybody who's on the streets.
Everybody. And the way you do that is you hire more social workers to go out and meet those people where they are. You can't expect them to come to the center, the new center that just was
the
built,
navigation center.
The navigation center. That's a great thing. I think, you know, there probably should be 20 of them. But You can't expect the person living under the freeway to, one, know about it, and two, be able to get there, and three, figure out how to navigate the system. You need to go to the homeless person. So I don't want to see, I mean, there's three no's that I have for the homeless. I don't want to see them panhandling in high traffic areas. I don't want to see sleeping on the street, and I don't want to see them defecating around the city. We have Broke Ass, who's in the race. And
Broke Ass, Stuart Shuffman, one of the other candidates.
Stuart, yeah. He's gone around the city and placed signs on a bunch of different bathrooms that could be open that we could use for the homeless. But again, you can't expect the homeless to go four blocks when they have to go to the bathroom. You have to have the bathrooms where they are, showers where they are. And so I would put porta potties and whatever we need to get them not defecating in the parks and all of that. And the third thing I don't want to see with the homeless is I don't want the police handling the homeless unless they are violent. They are not criminals. They have a condition, and we need to fix that condition. And the police are not social workers. They're police, and they need to handle those situations that police handle. And I think if we freed up the police from all of that with more social workers and more people that have a better rapport with down-and-out people that are trying to help them instead of just picking them up and put them in jail, we'll have the system cleaned up a little better.
That's Kent Graham. He's running for mayor of San Francisco. I know you're also interested in improving transportation around the city. Tell me what you'd like to see changed regarding the way people get around.
Well, I'm in favor of bikers riding bikes, but that's not for everybody. You know, it's usually for younger people who have jobs on one end and they drive the other. You're not going to find a mother with four kids trying to drive her kids around on a bike. That just doesn't work. And in the wintertime, it's hard for almost everybody on a bike. So, but I would like to see more bikers. I'd like to see more bike lanes. I love the idea of partitioning them off like they have down by City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Polk Street, they have a nice divider.
Yeah, that nice little divider. I want to see more of that. I want to see more direct routes like we have created on Harrison Street and down in the Embarcadero for people to be able to ride to various spots without really having to worry about cars and there's enough room. Part of the problem with the bikes is that there hasn't been enough room. I was at the San Francisco Parks meeting with the chief of police down there that 200 bikers descended on because they were getting tickets going through the park and they wanted things
going through the wiggle
and they wanted things like to be able to slow down, do a what
the Idaho
one of them called an Idaho stop. I always thought that was a California stop, but
I think it's a California stop too.
Yeah, and keep going. Mm-hmm. I think that's not a bad idea to be able to do that and won't impede. Now, some people just blow through the intersection, give them a ticket. I don't have any problem with that. But on tickets, I don't think we should be policing for profit. My daughter got a ticket, turning left onto Masonic right there across on Fell and Masonic. $391. Now, a student trying to pay a ticket for $391 is just not right. Or anybody who's lower income. I mean, if you're going to ticket like that, you're punitive against lower income people.
So you're saying you want a sliding scale on the cost of tickets?
I would prefer a sliding scale. I would prefer that anybody getting a ticket the first time, you know, gets a warning. I don't think our policing should be so heavy that it impinges upon the citizens of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I also think that parking tickets that everybody who's getting a parking ticket on a regular basis needs to get some sort of break or some sort of information on where they can go and how they can do a better job with in the area that they park a lot.
To get some advice about where they could park?
Exactly. Or find places for them to park. You know, there's a lot of little half streets and stuff that we could have some lanes put in, and the parks are supposed to be taking care of them, but they generally are overrun.
So I get the sense that some of your ideas here are kind of more on a human scale than a bureaucratic scale, because you're talking about sort of personalizing treatment and really looking for solutions that meet people where they're at rather than imposing the rules and making sure to be punitive on rules that don't really work for everybody.
Correct. And that we put our priorities where they're supposed to be. I don't think priorities should be put on parking tickets and some of the lesser crimes. I mean, we need to concentrate in an organized way about what percentage of our budget we're using on rapes and murders and what percent we're using on stolen phones. You know, that's a whole different level of crime, and we need to put more money into the rapes and murders and less on the phones. Probably do more education on the phones than anything else. But, you know, the new technology is blocking those phones from being used after they're stolen. So that's...
Turn them into bricks.
Yeah, that's breaking that issue down.
That's Kent Graham. He's running for mayor of San Francisco. I wanted to talk about a couple more platform points that you have that are maybe a little more radical even. One is that you're interested in legalizing marijuana. Can you tell me why?
Well, it's been working in a number of other states that marijuana is not the hard drug that everybody thought it was in the 50s and 60s. The best way to deal with that particular issue, I think, is to legalize it and tax it. You want some more money for the budget? Tax the hell out of it. And then we keep out the big cigarette companies who want to come in and take over. I mean, if you have certain rules about who can run and sell and like that, the most egregious is throwing people in jail for marijuana, and I don't think that that should be the solution to anything.
Well, back to the point you made about the big cigarette companies, it seems inevitable, though, that if you legalize a product, that larger corporations are going to find a way to mass market that, to make it to mass manufacture and then mass market it, which littler sellers aren't going to be able to do.
Well, and that probably will be what ends up happening, but I think if we control it in the beginning and let the little guys in, and then they need to be bought out by the big guys, I could live with that. Mm-hmm. But it's like any other capitalistic process.
Another statement that you've made is that you would like to legalize prostitution.
I would like to legalize it and control it. One of my main issues there is that there is slavery right here in San Francisco, and that is just abhorrible to me. All those young girls from Thailand or wherever they're coming from put up, and they have no resources, no recourse. We treat them like criminals because we arrest them as prostitutes, and really they're just kids, they're babies. So what I would like to see is brothels that are set up so that the prostitutes can be clean and healthy and the Johns can go there and not have to sneaking around and doing everything backhanded, and, you know, pay them a decent wage and make sure that everything is on the up and up. I know that's a little too radical for even San Francisco at the moment, but, you know...
Well, it's legal in the neighboring state.
Yes, exactly. And we could probably do a better job than they in running it. I have relatives in Nevada, and they're not having any problem with it at all.
And so you think that that would help to reduce the amount of sex slavery?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, once you start controlling the people there, then...
By controlling, do you mean monitoring and regulating?
Monitoring and regulating. And taking the market off the street, now you have to... It's not as profitable for them to bring those people over here and try to get them into brothels and the like of their own choosing and of their own, because they get the kickbacks on all of that. I think we cut down a lot of crime on that side as well.
The one other idea that really struck me in your platform points is the idea of campaign reform. Could you tell me what ideas you have around that? Because you broke it down at the federal, state, and local level.
Well, my major point is that there's just too much money being wasted on campaigning, and we could use that money for a lot of other things. You know, you put that money towards curing cancer, we'd have it done in a year. So my main issue is that I just lost my train of thought there.
You're talking about campaign reform.
Oh, yeah. My main issue is to shorten the time that voters have to be bombarded with all the paper and the TV ads and all that, because, first of all, most of it's negative anyway, and you don't learn a lot. But if you cut the time period down, and the PACs would have less time to work on funding all these different levels of politicians. I'm not high on politicians to start with, which is why I bill myself as a manager and not a politician. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson, when they first set up the government, the idea was to be a citizen overseer. You did your term, and then you went back to the community you lived in and took a job and started working again. You know, there's a, I put it on my website, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which would fix Congress. I urge people to look at that.
Well, what you said specifically regarding campaign reform is that national campaigns should spend no more than $5 million and should not start before 1 year ahead of the election date. Of course, last year, I think famously, the Barack Obama last presidential election, the Barack Obama campaign spent more than $1 billion. So this would be, it's not even comparable to $5 million. And obviously, we are still over a year ahead of the election date for the next presidential election. And this has been in full steam for quite a while. For states, you have it limited to $1 million and starting 6 months before election day. And for local campaigns, limited to $250,000 starting 3 months before the election. You think that that would be better?
I think it would include a lot more people in the process of running for election. And if they had jobs and they went back to their jobs afterwards and not relied on it as a career, then you'd have more people that know what the people are thinking rather than staying in office for years and years and years and then getting their separate pension and separate health care from the government and separate Social Security. They don't even have Social Security. I think it would improve the quality of life.
And that fits along the lines of your campaign, essentially, because honestly, like, you were kind of hard to reach, and I haven't seen a lot of campaign literature about you. So are you basically practicing in this campaign for mayor while you're preaching about the way in which campaigns should be run?
Pretty much. I'm receiving very little funds. I have a few friends and doctors who've paid into my account, but that barely covers the cost of the flyers I'm putting up and like that. I'm going out and meeting people in every district, shaking hands, handing out my cards, seeing if I can put a flyer in the store window. And I didn't really start doing that until a month ago.
But doesn't that make you less competitive as a candidate?
It does. And, you know, so be it. I mean, if I can get some people to adopt my ideas, I'm equally as happy with that. Maybe not equally as happy, but I'm happy with that.
Well, you're here now, and you're being heard by people right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Kent Graham. He is running for mayor of San Francisco. So just so that people can get to know you a little bit better, I would like to go through some quick questions and answers.
Okay.
They're kind of a more personal but not invasive nature, I think. So when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, president, like everybody else.
And what was your first job?
My first job was a support busboy for Lions Restaurants.
The chain Lions?
The chain Lions.
Uh-huh.
I did a bunch of different jobs while I was in college. I bartended. I worked for the Bakers Union. I worked for the Retail Industry Union. I was a security guard. And what else did I do?
Oh, that's okay. I was just looking for the first, yeah. Well, what's your favorite food and restaurant in San Francisco?
My favorite food is pepperoni pizza. My favorite restaurant is Eric's Roadhouse down on the Embarcadero.
And what's your favorite book?
My favorite book? Well, I'm a science fiction fan, so I think Dune would be my favorite book.
What's your favorite movie or TV show?
My favorite movie of all time is MASH, the original MASH that spawned the TV show. My favorite TV show, I have so many that I watch, but I like the Lost series.
All the way through? It kind of lost me after a while.
No, I watched it all the way through.
What's your favorite place in San Francisco?
Place? Well, I'd probably be the Marina Green because I ran volleyball tournaments down there for 30 years. And I love being down there and walking out to the Chrissy.
When you're elected mayor, who's the first person you'd call?
First person I would call, well, besides my daughter, would be my friend Terry Hunter down in Santa Clara.
How come?
Because we grew up together, and he's like my best friend.
And what words do you live by?
Words that I live by are basically be yourself, be true to yourself, and do the right thing.